Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Brooke, and joining me on the show is John from Boom Fit Strength Club in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, John. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Brooke? I'm excited and super duper pumped to like be here with you right now.
I'm really excited that, you know, we had a conversation last week and we got you here on the podcast. Super big deal. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day of, you know, being a business owner, being a trainer, to step back and give back to the industry. I really appreciate you for that. Before we really dive into the fun stuff, the business, the stuff that gets me really excited, what I want to talk to you about first, or have you tell us, is what was it that got you started in the industry of being a gym owner?
Wow. Super loaded, but I'll keep it short and sweet, I promise. I was the director of training at a gym called Liven Up Fitness. And Liven Up Fitness, a really awesome gym in Bethlehem that offers training service both in small and large group settings. It was like one of a kind, like no one had ever heard of a place like this. And I initially went there to be an intern. So I'm interning and I get off of the job. I'm like, oh man, this is great, but I'm doing it part-time and I'm still bartending. And then they were like, all right, well, we need you full-time. And I started full-time. I'm like, all right, I got to quit this job. And so I made the full leap into it. And from then on, I was like, man, this is me, you know, being in the gym all day, every day, working with people. So not only rewarding, but really exciting because everyone's different. Every session is a little bit different. And the fact that we did it in small teams, like we just had this atmosphere that was so contagious. You always needed to have it and you wanted to be around it. So it was just really cool. While I was there, I was lucky enough to be promoted to the director of training. And at that, I really got a chance to see more how the business had, how the flow of business, how we retain clients, the onboarding process for getting them, how we strategized with marketing. And I really enjoyed that part. I figured, you know, like when I first got into training, I was like, I could see myself doing this. And then the pandemic hit. And at this point, I've been in Liven Up for about 7 years. So I had quite a bit of experience on all ends. I mean, we did everything from mopping the floors to, building the equipment to, you know, bringing on new clients, taking them through their assessments, retaining them when their year was over, and just being on a management team. I got a lot of experience, like huge kudos to Liven Up because they really kind of gave me an opportunity to like make the most of myself and the experiences that they were giving me. And then when the pandemic hit, obviously gyms were shut down. So I was like, snap. All of that was like really great. And we were on the gravy train riding biscuit wheels. And then, you know, the shutdown, you know, like everyone else, we had to close our doors. So I'm sitting at home, like, dang it, man, like, what do we do? Well, I can't not work out because I love working out. It's my favorite thing. It's my whole motto. It's everything that my gym is based off of in terms of our philosophy, what we believe in as far as training. It's just, I love to work out. And I couldn't not work out. So I cleared out space in the garage and I started working out by myself. And then one person was like, dude, is it safe over there? And I was like, yeah, everything's clean. Like, I'm good. You can come through. And like one person turned into like five, turned into like 20, turned into like the best kept secret that was, you know, kind of like a speakeasy gym where, you know, maybe we weren't supposed to be gathering in groups of five or more, but, you know, we did it, you know, and it was clean, but it turned into something that was really cool. And, you know, when the shutdown kind of let up and everybody went back to work, I was like, man, there's no way I can go back, you know, like, and then I stayed in that garage for a year, just building clientele, working on it. And, you know, we acquired a spot and slowly kind of put the gym together ourselves. It's like a real, like, you know, from the mud type of situation. We literally didn't have, we had one squat rack in there We had a few kettlebells, a few dumbbells, but you know, my mentors taught me to be like really resourceful with what I had and to do more with less and really like put your clients first. And at that point, my skill set was good enough for that. I could, you know, get a group of people going with a minimal amount of equipment. People loved the workouts. The music was great. My brother started to like DJ the sessions, and then it became like a thing, you know, that the workouts were just a lot of fun and the atmosphere was inviting and there was all different fitness levels there. And we were clean. So
I love that. Okay. That's so cool. Like you found this passion for training and you did that for a little while. And then eventually that led to you, you know, being here, having Boom Fit Strength Club, your own baby. It's not somebody else's baby. It's yours, completely yours. So what I would love for you to do now is just give us your elevator pitch. Who are you guys? What kind of services are you providing? You know, paint us a picture of what Boom Fit Strength is. All gyms are a little bit different. So let's hear your take.
Oh, man. I have one motto in my gym, and that's stay in your lane. And it really does apply not only to like how we train, but it applies really, I think, to life. But we're all coming to this from different angles. Everyone's goal oriented, but we're all coming at this from different angles. You got knee problems, you got low back problems, you struggle with being consistent, you struggle with nutrition, you are a hard worker, but you don't know how to program. Everyone comes to this with different angles. And from what I see, the effort is there, the investment is there, and sometimes the guidance is lacking. You know you want to do something and you're willing to do something, but you just don't know how to do it. We step in and we facilitate not only the programming, but we hold you accountable. We give you the structure so that you can maintain a consistent routine. We give you that positive affirmation that you're progressing. We can show you that in detail. You can see it in your training. All of it has this progressive line. And what's really cool is, you know what? Especially right now, people need people. Everyone's locked in at home. You've been doing Zoom calls for like 2 years now. You've been trapped inside. You now have switched to like at-home workouts, and you rely on yourself for that motivation. And what's really tough and what's really challenging about that is that it's not the most motivating. It's you don't always get the best results. I have mostly every member of my gym has a Peloton. But you come to the gym for the people. You come to the gym for that atmosphere because someone else's hard work can spur you on. So what we do is we take that and we put it into a focused program. I undulate that program in a four-week cycle where you focus on strength training, power training, and conditioning. You don't have to worry about a thing when you come to my gym. You do an assessment. I take a look at how you move, what your goals are, and I formulate a strategy where when you come in, you're doing exactly the right moves with the right weights at the right pace. And as you progress, you can feel and see your results because, you know, I'll also put you on my super expensive scale to break everything down for you.
Yeah, I love that. So it really sounds like you are offering personalized experiences that are going to help these people feel like they have somebody on their side that's going to help them reach their health and fitness goals. And to be honest, you know, a lot of people need that. Not everybody can go into a big box gym and work out on their own and see success. A lot of people need to be a part of something and have somebody cheering them on and showing them how to do things. And that's what you're able to do with a place like Boom Fit Strength Club. So is it kind of group training? Like how many members do you have training at once? How many coaches do you have? Like paint that picture for us.
Our training sessions cap at 10 people. There for now, there's only one coach on the floor. That's me. So I work directly with every single client that we have. And the software that I use allows me to coach them on an individualized basis using a progress tracker, notes, communication, all of those things happen between us. It's actually very user-friendly for my clients and super duper simple for me. Obviously, being the business owner and the coach, you know, I need to make sure that the way that I communicate is both efficient, an efficient use of my time, but also exact enough to keep that experience as personalized as it can be when they're on the training floor. So that's one really cool aspect of what we can do. And the skill set that I have is, you know, your training regimen, no matter what time you come in, be it 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7, 8, 9, is always going to be the same, whether you're with the same group of people you've been working out with or whether you had to switch it up and come in the afternoon. I'm going to know where you are, what you need to do, and how you're progressing moving forward. And the cool thing about it, everyone understands that. And it creates this really cool vibe on the floor where it's very encouraging. You know, right now we're in a phase of powerlifting and everyone's kind of doing really well. They're getting off their good lifts and it's just all hurrahs, cheers, you know, encouragement, and just has had that really nice team chemistry. No matter if you're lifting like 75-pound deadlift or 260-pound clean and jerk, you're just getting that same kind of love. So
Yeah, I think that that's a huge piece of why people, you know, love this kind of group atmosphere is because they have people near them. And maybe that person's at a completely different level in their journey, but it's to be surrounded by people. Like you said earlier, people need people, especially more so these past few years. It's been a crazy few years. People are alone. A lot of your clients are probably working from home, and this is the space that they get to go to and feel like they have a community and feel like they have a family, and they're not just surrounded by people virtually. So I think what you're doing is wonderful. My next question for you, John, just to kind of keep the conversation going about the business here, is like, how big are you right now? You have just you as the trainer, but like, how many members are you currently servicing?
Right now, we just signed on our 67th member. We opened our doors. Thank you. We are on track for meeting our year one goal, which I'm super excited about. But we opened our doors October of 2021. So just a few short months ago. And our goal for year one was to sign on 100 members at on our annual rates. And we just signed up our 67th member in April.
Awesome. That's great. So is your year one goal, you said 100? Was it 100 members? Okay. So 100 members year one, but like how many members, hypothetically, if you could have it what you wanted in your facility, how many members would you guys house?
Ideally, my long-term goal would be 350 clients with three coaches on the floor.
Okay, so 350 clients is the long-term goal. So my next question is related to, you know, these clients. Where are you finding them from? Like, how are people hearing about Boom Fit Strength Club? Like, you know, are you doing advertising? Like, give us a picture of that.
So our target demographic is mostly like millennial, like elder millennials and like Generation Z. Like a lot of our clientele is between like 21 and maybe like 37, 38. Not to say that we don't have obviously older or younger clients. We are rolling out our athletic program in June. That's going to be for young athletes that are still high school or middle school. So, you know, I'm sure that will change once we get that program running. But our ideal, our baseline membership is called Lifestyle Training. You know, in this membership, we're looking for the person that goes to a gym that really wants to get results, that has no clue what they're doing. They go into a gym, they soak themselves into a set of headphones, and they go hide into the most comfortable corner. They go to like a treadmill, or they go to like the elliptical, or they only go to their favorite machines when they're available. And they do that pretty much all through, you know, until they get bored enough to stop coming. We want those clients, the ones that really need direction, guidance, accountability, show up on these days. I use the schedule to help help people accountable to showing up consistently. It's a lot harder to miss an appointment than it is to say I'll just go to the gym after work.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get what you're saying. And I think that piece is, it's so vital in this group fitness kind of world. Like that, the accountability piece is literally essential. And Gen Z millennials, they need it more than ever. There's so many distractions, it feels like so many reasons where it's just I won't go to the gym today, I'll go tomorrow, right? I feel like that's pretty easy. So you being, a facility where you're holding them accountable is definitely very helpful.
Yeah. So that being said, our marketing strategy is more based on to grab them. They're mostly on social media. So we've, especially my brother, Michael, he's co-owner and founder of BoomFit Strength Club. And he manages our social media and has done a really good job of giving off the right vibe in terms of what we offer and what we do. We've really tried to, in terms of our marketing, show people through our atmosphere, clips of, our workouts and of our members, testimonials of them, just kind of, letting them speak on the things that they enjoy most about what we do. And, for us, we know that most of the people that we want to attract and that we want to come, they're scrolling up and down Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook all day. So we do our best to use, those outlets aggressively. One thing that we will put into play, or that we have done, and it worked really successfully so far, was a transformation challenge. So essentially a 4-week trial, which would bring in, prospective clients and give us an opportunity to convert them into, into a long-term, a long-term client. And that worked pretty well. Our first campaign brought on 10 new clients, and is super pumped to say that we had 100% conversion rate. Every single client that did essentially the trial with a 4-week challenge, not only did they get fantastic results, but they all committed to the gym annually.
That's really exciting. Huge for you. Says a lot about the service you guys are providing. So, you kind of brought up the word campaign there. So that tells me that you guys are running social media ads. You're not just posting organically. Is that correct?
Correct.
So talk to us a little bit about that. Have you seen a huge return on investment from this? Is this something, how are you guys, what types of posts are you advertising to pull in a clientele?
My favorite one so far was actually a free grab. I essentially said, hey, listen, my program is so good, I'll let you do the first 2 months. I'll let you do the first 2 weeks of it for free. And if you're not convinced in those 2 weeks, we can part ways and, hopefully maybe in the future you'll come back. But we ran this challenge where that was, the play, or not the challenge, I'm sorry. We ran this campaign and we boosted that and maybe spent $200. And from that, we took in 8 new clients that are paying between $200 and $300 a month. So it, definitely profitable. Honestly, so far, a lot of how we have grown has been through word of mouth. My brother has done a lot of work in regards to developing more so the brand and the atmosphere of what we offer. So we do a lot of we do try to keep up with a lot of content with what's happening in our gym, what's going on in our community, what are our training methods. And we try to make sure that we're sharing a lot of that with, with the people that do follow us, and eventually the people that will follow us will understand, as much as they're looking for the right fit for them, we're trying to look for the right fit for us. while we do, like, I'm sure, like, aggressively marketing every month would probably yield maybe more more cold leads or unqualified leads, we really enjoy working with qualified leads, because we know that these are potential clients that we can nurture into a long-term commitment, and we want to take the time to get to know them while they're here. So what we do want that to be very known, this isn't going to be the best fit for everyone, and that's okay. We want to attract the right people for the right reasons so that we maintain our atmosphere, and that in turn helps us to maintain our brand, because that is what we offer. We're offering a cool experience, and yeah, it's definitely fitness based and it's definitely goal oriented, but more important than like you getting the results is the reason that you're showing up is it's fun. It's inviting, it's encouraging, it's an inclusive environment, and people, like, you know, the more clientele that we get, it's kind of like the best kept secret. This word of mouth keeps developing, and like, we don't really have to aggressively market, or we didn't have to aggressively, you know, campaign to get to where we are right now. We have maybe paid for ads, you know, for maybe two separate occasions. Outside of that, it's been all referrals and word of mouth.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really a great point, and that's, you know, word of mouth. And in this industry, it's our favorite thing, John, right? We love our clients, so we treat them good. And then unknowingly, they go out into the community and they're working for us. They're talking about us. And then we're bringing in new clients that already know who we are. They already trust us, and we don't have to do anything. They're already sold. Love it. So exciting. It's cheap. But at the same time, it's not necessarily a way for us to grow our business at a pace in which we can control. We can't control how quickly we're getting in new clients through word of mouth. And then, like, once it happens, we can't slow it down. So I'm sure you can relate to this, where it seems like you get a bunch of word of mouth clients at once, and then it slows down and you're like, all right, when are the clients going to come in? You know, I want to get to that goal of 100, and you still have, you know, several months to be able to get there, because that's your goal for the quarter or for the year, is to get to 100. But I guess, like, you know, the only way that we can control is through that advertising realm. And it sounds like you guys have used that to your advantage, like to pull in, you know, clients through the 2 week or the 2 month, was it 2 week trial?
We ran a two week trial and we ran essentially a 4 week trial or a month trial.
Yeah. So you use that to your advantage, and you use, you know, the advertisements to pull in the people. You know, once you get them in the door, you guys have done a good job converting them. You said you had like 100% conversion rate. So that's really exciting. So my next question to you, John, would be, and I think this is where our listeners can pull the most value, because people can relate to challenges, right? So what would you say is your biggest challenge? Like, what's that bottleneck, that one thing within the business right now that if you don't, you know, work on it, figure it out, overcome it, it might hold you back in the future as you grow to 100, 200, 350 members?
Wow. I mean, I think one of my biggest hurdles as a new business owner is knowing when to ask for help. I think there are a lot of times where, and there are so many people behind me that have given me literally some of the best advice, the hands-on help that I needed. I've learned so much in this process, literally everything from like, from doing like taxes to, you know, accounting and bookkeeping, to try to manage, you know, like cash flow and projections, to like putting up drywall and like, you know, like building bathrooms. So it was, I mean, definitely like a huge learning experience. But I think one of the things that I struggle with as an individual, and now obviously as a leader in this, is like knowing when to lean on and how to ask for help when it's, you know, before I get to a point where I am, you know, kind of up shit's creek a little bit.
Yeah, no. I get that. I think as a business owner, sometimes it's hard for us to ask for help, right? Because we think that we are the best at everything and we don't want to trust somebody to help us with something that has to do with our baby because it's ours. And that's like a motherhood thing, right? Like I have a kid and I'm not going to go to another mom and be like, hey, will you help me with this? It doesn't feel right. And the same goes to you as a business owner, just as it doesn't feel right to go out and ask for help. But since you're saying that, you know, you're sometimes afraid to ask for help, you know, what are you afraid to ask for help for? Like, what are the things that you're seeing within the business right now that you're like, oh, I wonder if I could use some help there? Are there any kind of topics like that? Because I think that there's probably people listening to this podcast that are feeling the same thing as you, because I think it's a common kind of feeling.
I mean, the one thing that you just said that kind of resonated with me, and as far as it being like, you know, like it's, you know, it's my baby, you know, it's like the thing that you've, you know, like been working on for so long. I've been honing my skill set for so long. I've been, you know, working on understanding movements, recovery, this, that, and the other. And so like when you formulated this whole plan and you put it to action, you feel so responsible for it that if you're not covering all bases, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not good at bookkeeping. Well, I need to get good at bookkeeping. Well, maybe it might be better to like just maybe have someone help you with the bookkeeping instead of, you know, maybe forcing yourself to take on a task that may just end up frustrating you and wasting a lot of your time. You know, taxes, you know, like, hey, just go to a professional, go seek out the help that you may need so that you're not trying to take on, or at least feel the need to be responsible for every detail of it. The one thing I've realized up until now is that when you do ask, people are so willing to help, period. Like people are just willing to help, especially in this particular setting where we do share a personal experience. Obviously the members can see how hard we're working. This is an absolutely humble, this whole experience and the way that our gym is, it is a very humble gym. We did not start with like a $300,000 budget or a $500,000 budget. We are not competing with gyms that have like $30,000 worth of treadmills and another like, you know, $100,000 worth of weights. You know, we didn't even take out a loan to do this. This is literally off of everything that we've worked on and worked for has gone directly back into it. So like, we buy equipment each month and continue to like build onto what we have so that we can do more with what we, you know, so that we can continue to build onto the program. That being said, you know, our members can see the effort that we're putting in. They can, and despite that, it hasn't really stopped our ability to grow. What we're seeing is that not only are people really, really championing us because of the hard work that we've put in. If you follow our Instagram, you can see that the place that we have was like in the mud. It hadn't been rented out or used for like decades. So it was definitely old and really behind code. So from the ground up, we really kind of had to really put a lot of effort into where we are right now. And so asking for a helping hand, especially from people that are around you that are experienced in different ways that maybe I'm not, is really, it's really cool and really humbling. And I think as a new business owner, that may be like probably my biggest advice is like, you know, the people around you, immediately around you, the people that you see every day are so, they're more willing to help you than you know. And all you need to do is be a little more vocal about, you know, talking about and asking for the help that you need.
Yeah, for sure. I love that you share that because like I said before, I think this is an area like a lot of us can relate to. We're afraid to ask for that help. So thank you for opening up about that, you know, with us. Where can our listener find you on social media so that they can check out all the cool stuff and see the transformation and all that?
The glow up. We are, our handle is Boomfit Strength Club.
Awesome. I'm excited to go check it out. I checked out your website. I haven't seen the social media page yet, so I can't wait to go check it out. for our listeners. Thank you guys for tuning in today. John, thank you for being here. If you all want to stay notified about future episodes, go ahead and hit like and subscribe. And if you want to join us for an episode here at the Gym Lords Podcast to kind of give us your take on the fitness industry, go ahead and fill out the link in the description and our team will be in touch with you soon. As always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
Welcome back to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we dive into the trenches with gym owners and talk the good, the bad, and the ugly sides of the business of fitness. I'm your host, Austin Montero, joined today by Ryan DeZormo of Outrage Athletics in Lafayette, Louisiana. Ryan, how are you doing today, man?
Good, I'm doing great.
Thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate your time. Appreciate it. So Ryan has been in the industry, at least in this with Outrage Athletics, since 2010, which is quite a long time at this point in the game. So that is an accomplishment in its own right. Ryan, why did you start Outrage Athletics back in the day?
Well, so it's actually kind of a funny story. I've been an athlete my entire life. I was training racehorses, thoroughbred racehorses, and I actually refused to ever train a person. You know, horses, they never complain. They show up for work every day. It's easy. Yeah. Well, I had friends that wanted me to train them, and I said, look, I'm not going to train you, but I'll let you just work out with me. Right. So I had a few working out with me. Next thing you know, I have a whole group working out with me. And then the owner of another large gym, he came to me and said, man, will you come start a program here? And at the time I said no, but then I started getting burnout with the horses, needed a break. So I eventually just said, yeah, I'll go ahead and make the change. And then, you know, I broke whatever I said I was going to do. And then next thing you know, I'm training people. And then I started to love doing it. And then, I just haven't stopped since.
That's awesome, man. So definitely a passion for training and for helping people, you know, similar story to most of us, I'm sure. What has kept you going this long? You're being in business for now going on 12 plus years. What is the thing that drives you the most, motivates you the most for this business?
It's for sure not the money. It's just being able to help people, man. That's what I'm good at. I get gratification knowing I'm here for a reason. If I can get somebody who's unhappy with themselves to change how they feel.
Yeah. I love it. No, I love it. Helping people is number one, serving people. And it's unique in the fitness industry. We get to do that like literally on a daily basis. So it's unlike, you know, most professions out there. We can see our clients and our members, you know, day to day, and it really have a positive impact. So that's awesome, man. Thanks for sharing that. Ryan, what, in terms of helping others, walk us through like a day in your life for those new gym owners listening or people that want to open gyms. What does a day in your life look like as a business owner now, maybe compared to 2010? You know, what does your day look like now?
Well, before when I was coaching classes, I was having to be there at 5 a.m. all the way to 10 a.m., then trying to find a time to come back home, take a nap, go back, try to find a time to work out, which is actually harder to do. You know, when you own a gym, you think, man, I can work out anytime I want. And then you end up working out much less because you're just trying to go home. Now that we've switched over to that different platform and it's more open gym, I do have a lot more time. So it's really just kind of the bookkeeping side and keeping the gym clean and talking to members and creating content on social media.
Yeah, no, that makes sense for sure. Those 5 a.m. wake up calls they get old pretty quick. I remember those. Those are not easy, you know, and it's definitely taxing on your body, on your mind. And then it's hard to do both. Kind of like you said, like to be coaching all day in the gym and then to also, you know, run the business, if you will. It's something always kind of gets, you know, not gets left behind if, you know, and then we can't focus all of our attention on where we need to be. So what made you change that platform to that, from that model to what you're doing now? What was the main drive there?
I guess the main thing is once I decided to bring in the kids aspect of it, and I've just noticed since COVID is really what changed it the most, yeah. Where people started working out at home. Next thing you know, people are turning all their garages into gyms. So yeah. The industry is for sure changing. That's why I wanted to make it more convenient for people to come. If you didn't want to work out at home, because to me, your home is supposed to be your place of peace, if that makes sense. The yeah. gym is my place to take out the aggression. Right. And I don't feel like the two ever mix. And I used to have a setup at my home and you know, I would work out every now and then, but it's just never the same as being in the gym. So now that we have the open gym, I just feel like people can come in anytime they want. They can work out alone if they want, and then come in at midnight. They don't have to be around group people. I just feel like just how times are changing.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like you hit a lot of key points there. Like working at home in the garage is definitely harder than going to a gym. And there's that, you know, there's definitely that disconnect. You know, you go to the gym, you can release, you get to leave the house. You know, some people are, you know, stuck on Zoom all day working at home and then working out at home. And then it's, you never get that outlet where the gym is a great place to provide you that, you know? So I agree with you 100% there. So your model, Ryan, is more right now of a self-service 24/7 gym. We scan in when we come in. Give us like the virtual walkthrough of your gym, since we're just, you know, online here. What for the listeners, what does the gym kind of look like, so they can kind of paint a picture in their head of your model, of your setup there?
So we have a keypad now, yep. Where members just come, they use the keypad, they come in. We just have a lobby when you walk in. Then on the side of the lobby, there's a whole dumbbell area. You walk through either two of the main doors, goes into the main gym. It's kind of set up like a CrossFit style, similar, you know, where we have pull-up racks, squat racks, you know, dumbbells, medicine balls, assault bikes, rowers. Nice. An area with turf, with prowlers to push the prowlers, things like that. So no machines whatsoever. I'm totally against machines, just for my own personal reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's more of that primal feel to it.
Okay.
And then the other thing is when you come in, we have a board. Obviously, I write the workouts for the entire week. So if someone wants to follow a program, it's there. They want to come in and do their own thing, that's fine as well.
Yeah, that's a good walkthrough. I definitely have an idea. You know, I personally love all the equipment you just named, so I think that's awesome. And like, you know, also like, you know, our machine is the body, right? I mean, our body is the machine, excuse me. Instead, the other way around. So I totally get a good picture of what you're saying. Besides, we get the scan and code. I'm sure you have a software you're using for that. Do we offer anything else? We have personal training, right? I know we talked about that off air. What's your personal training setup look like?
Yeah, so we do offer personal training as well. That's set up through the website. Okay. Members can purchase personal training packages or sessions. Then they can schedule it. I have it, you know, all the way from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. They can schedule it. Once they schedule it, it sends me an alert. I'll know to meet with them. Usually I'll call them and talk to them first, see what their goals are, but then we just set it up like that. But it's pretty simple.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, making, like you said, ease is everything, right? So the easier we make it for the clients, the easier it is, and the more likely they're gonna come and stay. What software do you guys use for personal training? Anything specific?
Zen Planner.
Zen Planner, okay.
We've been with them since the beginning.
Yeah, they've been around for a lot. Geez, probably almost 20 years, right? They've been around forever. Yeah. Your membership as well, everything you run through Zen Planner?
Everything's through Zen Planner.
Okay. All right. Cool. Let's talk about this. We talked about this off air, and it's something that I think is unique. Competitive landscape in your area. What does that look like, Ryan? Are you the only gym in town? Is there other gyms in town similar to yours? What is that competitive landscape like for you right now?
Every which way you look, there's a gym. I'd say every square mile, there's at least a gym in our town. And there is CrossFit gyms on every corner. There is Planet Fitnesses. There's the Club Fours, the Hub Cities, the Anytimes, the Snaps. They're all there. And then, of course, Red Laurels, which is the second largest gym in the nation, is in our city.
So a lot of competition. So pretty much everything you can name is there within your vicinity. What are you looking to do, I guess, maybe make a little change here and pivot your model and your plan to stand out and attract more people? Is there something you're working on right now to do that?
Yeah, for sure. So we have recently switched over and added kids tumbling, ninja classes. So what we're trying to do now is implement that. And for only 10 bucks a month, the parents can actually join. So instead of just sitting in the lobby or sitting in your car and waiting for your kid, they can actually exercise at the same time. So that'll be something that no one else offers, where you come, you bring your kid to tumbling or ninja class, and you can exercise. So no time wasted, no excuses.
You know, that definitely helps for the parents. Instead of sitting in the car, you get to work out for only 10 bucks, which is great. How is your kids' tumbling and ninja program gonna look? How are you gonna set it up? Like monthly membership or like by packages, or is it gonna be more like a small group training setup? What's that gonna look like?
Yeah, so we have different packages. The typical package is 4 sessions per month. They use them how they want. The other package is 8 sessions per month, so they might come twice a week. We do have unlimited, but most of the children are coming between once or twice a week.
Okay. And this is already up and running, right? You guys are already doing this?
This is already up and running.
Cool. What how many kids are involved in this program roughly?
We try to keep it under 15 per class. So we usually run classes right now Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We try to keep the group smaller. We don't want to put 30 kids in a class where they're not learning anything. They get a little bit more one-on-one time if we're 15 or less. Yeah. And then of course, with my background, we're not just teaching them the skills. We're also teaching them the strength and the conditioning part of it as well. That'll lead to sports or whatever they want to do later on. And I feel like that is one of the biggest things lacking today is kids are on phones and iPads 24 hours a day, and they're just not athletic like we were when we were kids.
Oh, there's definitely been a change. It's been a switch. You know, I'm sure you can recall growing up, I was never inside. I'm sure you were the same. We're outside playing football, baseball, hockey, basketball, everything, you know, building forts, all this stuff. So yeah, to offer that kids program is definitely unique. And I'm sure, something kids love to do once they start doing it, you know, it's like basically just, it's like recess pretty much, you know, and then to give the parents that nice add-on of $10 a month just to come work out. I mean, sounds like a win-win for everybody across the board. Have you seen parents take advantage of that yet?
Parents are doing it. Yeah. Some are doing it, which is great. It just makes it very easy for everyone.
100%, man. 100%. Oh, I love it. What is the general population membership of your gym look like? Has it changed like during COVID, before and after? How many members do you have to just come work out on a day-to-day, you know, how many members do you have on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it definitely has drastically changed. There's I'd say about half as many as before COVID for sure. So it's going way down. Like I said, I think once people started working out at home, I think they haven't switched back. But, you know, I do think in the long run, people will go back to gyms because at the end of the day, I don't feel that a whole lot of people can see really good results without a trainer or without a program or without someone holding you accountable.
I agree totally. I think the having the space to go to, having the coach with you, you cannot replace that, you know, on a Peloton or at home alone. 99% of people, it's hard to replace that. So that's definitely, I definitely agree with you there, Ryan. What are you guys doing to try to get these people back that you lost? Are you reaching back out to them? Are you doing any paid advertising to find new people or get people in the door, any lead generation? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, we are doing quite a bit of, I find the best right now is social media marketing, like Facebook and Instagram.
For sure.
We're also going to start going to the schools with different ads for things. And then mail outs is what's going to be next.
Okay. Awesome. So with social media, what do you guys on your page, do you try to highlight anything? Is there a theme to your, say, Instagram page? I've noticed some gyms, you know, that Monday is like, you know, trainer Monday or motivation Monday. Tuesday is like technique day. Follow any kind of theme or anything just out of curiosity?
No, not necessarily. What I'm doing now as far as our classes that the parents love is I'm trying to get videos of their kids doing things. And so I'll text the videos to them personally, and then I'll post them on social media and tag them. They kind of love that stuff. Everybody likes showing off their kids. So
100%, especially doing athletic feats, you know, it's a major thing. So I think it's awesome. You guys are offering that kids piece. I saw on your website, I think it was, how did you term the tumbling piece? fit. What was the wording?
Fit for flight.
Fit for flight. Yeah. Kind of like a play on, fight or flight, if you will. So that's why when I first read it, that like stuck in my head, and it's kind of a definitely a fitness related thing, a life related thing, you know. So it's cool that you guys are offering that service for the kids. Ryan, let's talk maybe pre-COVID. What did you guys find best to keep your members kind of engaged and coming back for a while? I know the last 2 years, thrown a wrench in kind of our industry. What were some of the best practices that kept those members coming back, day after day, week after week, month after month?
So pre-COVID, we did a lot of challenges. We would do six-week diet challenges or fitness challenges where maybe I would have them logging their food in an app where I could actually see it, and we were doing measurements every week. That was really keeping them engaged, and I think they had a lot of fun with that. They also saw by far the best results.
Right.
So that was something that was good. Like I said, it was just so much different then, but it was a lot of challenges we did.
Yeah.
We did bingo challenges where we had a bingo card, and on the bingo card, you had all these series of things you had to do. And once you did them, I would check it off.
Okay.
And there was a prize for once you finished it off.
Yep. Yeah. So I agree. Like the definitely community building, rapport building, all that good stuff, nurturing our clients. You think people are starting to get opened up to the idea of coming back and doing these challenges? Have you guys had a sense of that yet in your locality there? How's that feeling? How's that vibe with your members right now? Would they do it?
Maybe some of them, but yeah, not so much yet. There's still a tendency for people to just want to be alone at the moment. They just want to work out alone and by themselves with no one else. I think we're not ready to get back to how it used to be just yet.
Okay, no, makes sense. Yeah, every part of the country is so different, and I talk to gym owners and trainers all over the place, and like, such a big difference in different areas. It's very, very interesting. That's the reason I asked. So thank you for sharing that, man. So we got our members in the door. We got kids programs. We have personal training. We have a tracking software. We have a competitive landscape. We talked off air about partnerships and business partnerships. I know you're thinking about going that route now. Where's your mindset with a business partnership in the gym industry? Why are you thinking about bringing on a partner or not bringing on a partner? Where's your mindset right now with partnerships?
Yeah, so I'm speaking with a guy right now, and he likes to do a lot of birthday parties and camps for the kids, and really pushing the ninja stuff, because that's something that we don't have in this town.
Right.
He does it in a Baton Rouge, which is about an hour away from us. Okay. And he says that's where he's making 95% of his income. So that's going to be something we bring in. The gym, we may bring the classes back at some point. I'm just going to have to feel how it goes. But right now, everyone's liking the open gym. But the kids thing is where we're heading, like I said, because of how many gyms there are relative to how the percent of the population that works out versus how many children are into activities relative to how many kids' gyms there are. There's very few kids' gyms and a regular gym on every corner.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely sounds like you have a unique landscape there from a competition standpoint. So it's, obviously we have to keep looking for ways to stand out. So that's where the partnership with somebody else obviously would come into play. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. I think the partnership piece isn't talked about enough in the business of fitness. So I'm glad you shared it. And like, there's pros and cons to it, and you have to find the right partner. So it seems like you're going down this kids ninja kind of route to kind of separate yourself from the competitive piece of your area. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. Cool. Beautiful. What is your, like, what does the future, Ryan, look for you, like, with the adults, with the general population? Do you want to get it back to what it was before? Do you want to push the personal training? Do you want to maybe bring classes back? I know you just kind of said that. Is that, you think, a year or two down the road from now or sooner than that?
I think
or if at all, yeah.
I think sooner than that for sure. But, yeah, I'd really like to get back to that because, like I said, in the end, it's about helping people. And I just feel like that is the route I like to take. And that's what I'm passionate about. Whether it's helping kids or adults, we'll see how it goes. But hopefully we can bring back the programs for the adults as well. And I'm working on getting more personal trainers in to hopefully go that route as well.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I hope it comes back for you guys soon too. Do you think the biggest roadblock is just people's mindset right now from coming out of 2 years of, you know, of COVID, or is it the competition around you? What is your biggest roadblock right now you're facing from getting back to that level or getting better than you were before?
Yeah, I think it's the whole COVID thing, because it's sure there's competition, but we've always had the competition.
Right.
And what I'm finding is everyone's memberships are just way down, because it's just so many people have gone, you know, training back at home, or maybe they've just gotten lazy because a lot of people have their jobs switched to working at home, and maybe they're just not leaving the house at all anymore.
Yeah.
And if you don't leave the house, well, no one cares what you look like if they don't see you, right?
That is true. Yeah. Takes away that motivation piece, I guess, right? But yeah, man, I agree with you there. I mean, that's definitely been a massive change that we have never experienced, you know. Like, a lot of people now are just fully remote at home working, don't have to leave if they don't want to, get groceries delivered, food delivered. So it's definitely part of our business that we have to be aware of and try to figure out a way to get people back in, you know, with whatever that is. Ryan, since you've been in fitness now for at least 12 years as a gym owner, I like to ask this to people that have been around for a while. Any advice you'd give to your younger self when starting your business that if you could go back in time and change, you would? Or, any advice you'd give to your younger self? What does that kind of look like?
I think the only thing I would have done differently is maybe marketed it more, and I think it would have grew faster. I had no help. I kind of built it from the ground up. I remember when I started, I just had barbells and I ordered like 2 10-pound plates, and I was like, whoever wants them, there's only two, go ahead and grab them.
Yeah.
So I started from nothing, just eventually one rower, you know, one of this, one of everything, and just slowly built it up.
I love it, man. Yeah.
Someone financially to help would have been great. And then marketing, I think, is the biggest thing at the very beginning.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. Like, I started my first gym with, like, I'll be fully transparent, with like $20,000. And it was similar. It was a small little space, one rower, 3 barbells, a couple medicine balls, kettlebells, nothing crazy. So probably a similar story. And then just kind of grow, you know, month by month and add things here and there and add members. Is that a kind of similar? Sounds like a similar story now.
Oh, it's 100%.
Yeah.
Same thing with the gym flooring. I remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was only able to buy so much flooring, and it was just like, you work out over here, you work over here, and then every month I would buy a little more, and then I think it took about a year, and I finally, when I put that last piece of gym flooring down, it was just the best feeling ever.
It's so funny you say that. Like, I remember adding piece by piece. Like, you know, you buy a little bit, you buy a little bit, and then the goal is to have the whole gym floored, and then one day it's like, oh my God, fine, it looks so good and it looks so nice. And it's a big accomplishment, man. But like, being able to last 12 years starting how you did, I think is super impressive in itself. So obviously we're doing something right. What do you think is your best attribute as a business owner? Is it your passion for the business? Is it how much you care for your members and your clients? What do you think sets you apart and is like your best quality as a fitness owner?
Well, what sets me apart is the results that I can get from people. I find that I can get better results or get the best out of someone, where I may not be the nicest trainer or the friendliest coach they've ever had, but I'll get them results. And going back for a second,
I
feel super important. So Red Laurel, who owns that large gym, is the second largest gym in the nation. He once told me, and this was about the best advice I ever had. So he started in 1965, similar story. He had almost nothing. Now he's the second largest health club in the nation. Yep. He told me, he says, every month you have to put back into your business. He says, if I don't need anything, I'll change a piece of carpet.
Yep.
But that was the thing. And that's what I did. Just every month I put something new. And I still do that.
Yeah. And I think, I'm glad he said that. It's great advice to new people listening, new people wanting to get started. I think members really pay attention to that, and they see that, you know, and it shows that you really give a crap about them and about the business and about them getting results. So like, I appreciate you sharing that, Ryan. And I think you said something big there that's important, is like, you get people results, you know, you get members results that they can actually see, not just feel, but they can see. So, and I think at the end of the day, we're selling results, right? We're selling them results. And that's the base of what we're doing at the end of the day, to get them results, to get them to where they want to go. So I appreciate you sharing both of those two things. Ryan, where, I think that's a pretty good place to wrap it up, man. Where can we find you on Instagram and Facebook and your physical location as well, if anybody's in the area?
Yeah, our address is 116 Luke Street, and that's Lafayette, Louisiana, 70506. Instagram, Outrage Athletics, and now it's Outrage Athletics / Fit for Flight Tumbling, because we're incorporating the two together. Same thing on Instagram.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you coming on today, man. Thanks for taking the time. And thanks for everybody for listening who tuned in today. We appreciate you as well. Don't forget to be notified for future episodes. Hit like and subscribe. And until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD-formulated high-quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple. Cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on PrestigeLabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I'll be your host today. My name is Alex Beck, and joining us on the show is Mike Beaulieu from Men's CrossFit out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show. What's going on? How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me on here.
Of course. I was excited to get you on. I know we've been in touch the past couple of weeks now. I felt like maybe I'm bugging this guy, calling him too much, seeing if he wants to jump on. but I'm glad we're persistent. I guess that's the name of the game, right? But no, I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking time out of, you know, that busy gym owner life just to be here with us. But before we dive into more of the nitty gritty of, you know, what you have going on and how you run your facility, why don't you give us a little background info on, you know, what made you get started in the fitness industry in the first place?
Well, I've always been involved in fitness since I was a child, basically. I've always been doing some sort of sports. And then I kind of got into the gym bodybuilding industry when I was 17, 18 years old. Stayed with that, just on the side, doing the body sculpting is what we used to call it back then. And just stuck with that most of my life, just trying to stay fit as I could be. And then about 8 or 9 years ago, I stumbled upon CrossFit, and it kind of reignited that passion for me. And so I was, all in on getting fit again, and started to see some great gains and progress, and I've just been hooked ever since. And went through and got my L1 and started coaching at a local gym. Did that for about 5 years, and then decided that I wanted to do something a little bit better. And I thought, I was running another gym, and I just figured that it's time to, you know, try something on my own and see if all the policies and everything that I was already implementing would work for myself instead of for somebody else. And so started the process and just started getting it done, and probably the worst time ever to do it. The business was established on February 28th of 2020. And that was, like we spoke before, is a few days before everything was shut down, basically, for COVID. And so the delay on opening up our gym was tremendous. We didn't actually, we started our build out in October of 2020. That's how long it took to get all the plans approved and everything like that. And then finally, we had a great subcontractor who got everything done pretty quickly. It only took about just under 2 months. So December is when we were able to open up our doors. I did a lot of the work myself, as far as I've got a lot of construction background. So I was able to help the contractor out and just kind of push things along to get the gym opened up a little bit quicker. And so December, we opened up our doors, did some open gym type memberships. And then January 4th of 2021 is when we started doing our first classes.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. We spoke about this before, you know, the fact that you opened or you established your business a couple days, just literally a couple weeks before, you know, COVID actually happened. You know, you should be proud that you took it to the long haul and that you're still growing steadily. You know, a lot of people probably would have given up or get discouraged during that time and, you know, let that kind of sink off to the distance to, you know, avoid issues, avoid, you know, everything that was going on with COVID. So that's awesome to hear. But perfect. I would love, you know, for you to give the listeners your own kind of elevator pitch of Men's CrossFit and, you know, the services that you guys offer.
Okay. Well, probably wondering about the name. So Mensch is a German word that means person. So it's basically people's or the person's CrossFit. Mensch is also another person of honor and integrity. So I thought it was a really good name to show our values and what we stand for here at the gym. So we're all about integrity and honor. And then we, our other value is dedication, which, as you pointed out, it took a lot of dedication to keep the gym, you know, moving forward throughout all the crises that we were dealing with in 2020. So as far as what we offer, it's a CrossFit gym mainly. So it's a group fitness is what most people classify that as. So we'll have a small groups in our classes and everybody will do the same workout. We got a coach walking around, making sure everybody's being safe, moving correctly, and just improving themselves the best way in the most safest way possible. We also offer some personal training or personal coaching is what we call it with some of our coaches that'll do some other services on the side. If you have specific goals that you're trying to achieve, or if you're training for something in particular, we've got a big variety of coaches that are specialized in some of these fields, so they can really tackle some things with some athletes. And then we have open gym services as well. So we have a pretty big, so our facility is pretty big. I think it's the biggest in the area. So we're at 17,000 square feet. So we can set aside, and we have set aside a portion of the gym as more of an open gym environment that anybody can come in at any time that we're open and just do their own thing. So they don't have to jump into a group class setting. And it doesn't really disturb the other part of the gym. So that's a huge benefit. We do have retail here as well. We don't really focus a lot on retail, but we have, you know, like drinks and shirts and stuff like that. But we do have coffee service in the morning as well. So we just implemented that.
Really cool. Now that's smart too. I mean, everyone wants to get a cup of coffee before, you know, their workout. So to provide that, you know, it just extra layers of service, you know, creates more value for the members that you have. Yeah. So that's awesome. That's awesome. Now do you guys, I know you said you do some private training. How's that been going? I know usually it's a little difficult when you add that private training model in to, you know, fill up those private training slots, especially when you're predominantly a group training facility.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a primary source here.
Okay.
But we do have one of our coaches that is basically all that he does is private training, and he does really well with it. He's very well known in the area, and so a lot of people seek him out to get some one-on-one training. So he's got a pretty good client base that is continuing to grow and expand every day. I'd say at least he'll have at least two or three new clients a month that'll come and join him. And so he's doing really well with it. Another one of our coaches, he does it as well. We're trying to push that out to all the other coaches too, but sometimes it's just more of a confidence thing and, yeah, you know, how they, if they feel comfortable with it or not. So hopefully some of the other coaches will be able to join in on that as well.
Yeah. That's funny too. I know just me, if I were to, you know, be training, I feel like group training would be more of a confidence thing for me. That would, you know, be more difficult. Private training is more one-on-one. It seems like a lot more easier. But yeah, awesome. So a question that I like to ask, just because I think it's a good way to reflect on, you know, the past couple years that you've been a gym owner. But what was something that was easier than you thought when it came to starting your facility? And what was something that was more unexpected or more difficult when it came to, you know, running your business, starting your business?
Let's see. Easier. I don't think anything was easier in our situation. Yeah, nothing has been easy in starting this up. So I, like I said, I ran a gym in the area for a few years. So I had a pretty good understanding of what all needed to happen and what needed to be done. So that was an easy transition.
Yeah.
But there were more responsibilities on top of, you know, just, you know, running the coaches, doing the programming, you know, cleaning the facility and stuff like that, that were layered on top. So it's all been pretty difficult since the beginning, especially with COVID and just dealing with the uncertainty that was created, I think, during COVID. So that'll lead right into what was more difficult. And that it would be, I'm not going to say it was COVID itself. We dealt with that fine. You know, we had our, when everything was, you had to wear your masks and stuff like that. That was kind of easy to deal with, honestly. The hard part about it was like figuring out where people were as far as being comfortable. And, you know, who was going to come in, how many people would walk through the door. And so there's a lot of uncertainty that put a ton of stress on the business itself and how we would be able to grow it. Because there were, you know, we do all our marketing primarily through social media. Yeah. Word of mouth is really big with CrossFit. So, we were doing that like I had done before, and I had doubled the membership at the other gym that I ran. So I know that it works, but just this uncertainty that came in with COVID and just, you know, everybody being kind of just freaked out is a way to put it. We couldn't really nail down, okay, this is the formula to get people in. This is what works. So we kind of just stuck with what we know worked prior to all this uncertainty, and it's been working. It's been very slow compared to how it was prior to 2020.
Yeah. So post COVID now, so to speak, hopefully, even though I've been here in New York, might get shut down again. How's your growth been since then? The plan that you implemented, Is it working? Is it a steady growth, or have you seen, you know, any flaws, or is it, you know, taking longer than you'd like?
Well, it started to work really well. And then January happened and we had that other spike,
right?
The Omicron or whatever that happened. So the normal January, new year, new me that happens every year, that was gone. And I've talked to other CrossFit gyms and same thing, like, we didn't have the New Year spike that we normally had. It happened in the end of February and March, people started to come back in. So that the influx and the growth started to happen, but then now we add another layer of inflation on top of COVID going away, inflation starting to happen. And so now we're kind of dealing with that at the same time. And there's some uncertainty with, am I going to be able to afford this? Because CrossFit's, you know, pretty expensive to do. It's very justified in what you're getting for the money. But a lot of people just see that initial, you know, over $100 price, and they're thinking that's a lot of money a month. But, you know, in actuality, if you paid a personal trainer for two sessions, you'd already have spent your $100. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to convince people of that initially if they haven't done CrossFit. Anybody who's done it before, they see the value, they know the value. They just need to find the right gym to be associated with.
Yeah.
And so I will add too. So one of the a difficult thing that opening the gym up is our location. While it's a fantastic facility, the hardest part has been getting people to find out where it is, because we're in a basement and we're underneath a shopping center and there's no sign, there's no direct road to our facility. So that's probably one of the harder things that we've been trying to overcome is getting people to our facility. Because once they get here, they love it. I mean, it's a fantastic facility, the layout, the equipment, and everything. Our coaches are great as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what I'm thinking too. I mean, you have a really good size facility. There's definitely, you know, a lot of room to growth for growth, you know, just kind of figuring out how to push people in there, you know, get them, you know, into that process of, you know, do you guys do like an on-ramp class?
Yes. Yes. Okay. We have an elements class that is 3 days, and it's very thorough and it gets people up to speed. It's a really, really good class.
Do you have your members pay for that on-ramp class, or is that something you give for free?
We have done a couple of free elements. We call it elements. So we've done a couple of free elements just to get people in the door.
Yeah.
But normally they have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And the free one will be a group session as well. And we'll try to cram it all into like a 3-hour session just to go through all of it.
Okay. That's smart. That's a way of, you know, I've talked to a lot of gym owners and I don't really think it's the best idea to just be handing out, you know, a week of free classes to try and get a member in. But no, that's a good way to combat it by, you know, you could either pay for that solo on-ramp class or you could come for free and be in the group style, still get the same value. And, you know, so that's smart as well, just to combat that issue. Cool. Perfect. So you're offering, it's mainly group training. You do a little bit of private training, it sounds like. That leads me to my next question about how many members are you currently serving right now?
Right now we're hovering, and it fluctuates month to month, especially since we're so close to campus, because we're right down the street from the University of Arkansas. So we have students that come and go, but we're hovering about 150 to 160 members right now.
Okay, cool. So you're sitting at about 150 members. I do always like to ask, is that a number that you guys want to stop at, or are you trying to hit the gas right now and see some new faces come into your facility?
Well, like I said before, we've got 17,000 square feet. So we got plenty of room to grow. So we're definitely wanting more members. If we were to cap it, which I can't really see that happening, it would probably be around 300 or so, because the gym I ran before, we had at one point 300 members and everything was still able to be run smoothly because they're not all going to be there at one time. So just spread out through classes throughout the day, it's still possible to run classes smoothly.
Right, right. And there is such a thing as, you know, growing too fast or, you know, not being ready for, you know, the amount of growth that comes. So it's a good thing that you kind of have an idea of what your cap would be like. Cool. So since you are wanting to see some new faces, help some more people, what are you actively doing right now to aid that growth process?
Well, social media is the main thing. We're about to host a competition here as well. So the end of June, we're having the Northwest Arkansas Basement Brawl. So hopefully we'll get a lot of people to register for that. And that'll get some notice out to the community. We're speaking with some local corporations. We're actually right underneath two big companies in the basement. And so I'm talking with them right now about getting all their employees on a plan. So hopefully that'll go through within the next couple of weeks. And then, like I said earlier, we're working on different memberships, maybe some gym access on off hours is what we might move towards. And just filling that out at the moment, see if we'll be able to accommodate that.
Okay. When you say different memberships, you mean like, you know, maybe having like a basic open gym membership,
right,
and that group training membership, and then, you know, maybe the private training on top.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Cool. Cool. So I know you said you focus a lot on, you know, your presence on social media, which is really great. I think a lot of people don't realize how important it is to be on the internet now, which kind of is annoying to say that, you know, most businesses, if you don't pop up on Google, if we can't find you on Yelp, Instagram, you know, it's going to be really hard for people to show up. Have you ever tried anything like paid advertising, like, you know, Facebook ads, Instagram ads?
No, we haven't paid for any. I've done a lot of SEO stuff on our website.
Okay.
So that we try to come up first on the list. Right. It's starting to pay off. That just takes a little bit for it to sink in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been doing a lot of that in the background just to,
okay,
so that we show up on the searches.
And you do that yourself, all the Google SEO?
Yes. Yes. I do everything except my wife handles the social media. She's behind all that.
There you go. Teamwork. No, but that's really cool that you teach yourself, you know, how to do that. That's, you know, part of business. Sometimes out of necessity, you have to hop on YouTube and teach yourself how to do things like that. That's actually pretty much how I learned. I started doing, running Facebook ads in 2016, and I pretty much just taught myself, just trial and error, YouTube. Ended up probably losing more money the first year than making money. But you know, that's like the thing is, like, you got to do what you have to do. I didn't have the money to hire some marketing team to help me. So, you know, self-taught, and you end up working it out. It ends up working. You end up learning, and you learn a new skill. So that's a benefit as well.
Yeah.
Cool. But what's holding you back from trying, you know, different type of digital marketing stuff like Facebook ads and Instagram ads?
Well, it costs money.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just trying to, you know, be very frugal, I guess, in our spending. And if we can do it ourselves, then we'll do it. And my wife and I are, you know, she has a regular job, so she has to do that. And then we talk about, you know, things and ways to do stuff all the time. I get a lot of input from my coaches as well. They're very on board with the gym, and they wanted to succeed. So they're always trying to help out in as many ways as possible. So that's a real key, is having some coaches or employees, coaches in our instance, that, you know, really support you and are 100% on board. That's how to be successful as well.
Yeah. 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 Good for you too. I mean, that's a bad thing about like personal trainers in a way, is that sometimes they're very fickle. You know, they might not have the same like mindset or viewpoints towards your business the way you do. You know, so that's good that you have like a supporting system around you, a team of people, you know, that could help you. So as far as now with the current clients you have, how would you say, what would you credit to, you know, how they came in? Would that be mostly referrals, word of mouth, you know, being active in the community?
I would say, primarily when we first opened up, it was from, being known in the community. 'Cause like I said, I ran a gym, in this town for a number of years. So I already knew quite a few people, and then they would refer people to come in. And then a lot of it honestly has been social media, and, you know, just my wife, she's got the pulse of things. I don't know how she does it. I rarely get on social media and I get confused every time I do. So she knows when to post stuff up, how it's supposed to look, how, you know, if it should be a story or a post or, you know, stuff like that. So I let her handle that and she's done a great job. Everybody's always complimented us on how well our social media has been doing. So
yeah. A woman's touch. No, but that's great. And that's really cool that, you know, you're able to pull in members through just organic social media presence and also referrals. Referrals is huge for, you know, most gyms. And you know, it's cool to see that you could fill up that starting membership base just based off referrals. It really shows, you know, proof of product, proof of value. You know, the things that you're offering is valuable to your members. It's, you know, changing lives, it's helping them. So that's awesome to see as well. Are you able to track these numbers? Like, you know, if someone were to come in, that's a referral, are you able to track those numbers to kind of see on a month-to-month basis how many people are coming in on referrals versus social media?
There is a way to track it, I'm sure. I definitely don't have the time to, you know, check the box on where they came from. I generally kind of keep that in my head as far as, okay, so so-and-so came from there, so-and-so came from there. So I have an idea in my head where everybody has come from, but I don't have anything graphed out or anything like that. There is a way, because we use Wattify as our software, so there is a way to do that. That's too in the weeds for me. I've got to be out there on the floor interacting with people and just, you know, because that's what I care about is, you know, the people coming in and, you know, that they need to know that. So I need to be out there and, you know, supporting them and guiding them and helping them. So that's our main purpose. So.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a skill on its own to be able to look at the things, different responsibilities that you have as a business owner and, you know, be able to pick and choose what is really going to move the needle forward for you. And if for you, that's being on the floor, being active with your clients, you know, seeing them face to face, if that's what moves the needle forward for you, then, you know, that's good for you. That's what you put your time into. But that's one thing that I would say that's, you know, more of a pain with referrals is that it's really, really hard to track, you know, because although let's say for the first of the year, you were able to get 10 people in through the door from referrals, it's hard to say that, okay, in the coming months, you know, let's say February, March, and April, we could also, you know, continue that growth, get another 10 members in. It's pretty much up in the air. You know, you get 10 referrals last month, you can't really say like, okay, cool, next month we'll also get 10 referrals.
Yeah, that it does make it pretty hard. So we do some other like small events. Like I said, we're close to the campus. So we do some sorority events where we'll get some sisterhood stuff. They'll come and, you know, get a group of 40 or 50 girls to come in here from a sorority, do a workout with them just to expose them to CrossFit and, you know, the workouts in the gym. And so everybody knows where it's at as well. So we've gotten a few. I'd say probably 10 or 12, members from doing that. So, but like you said, it's hard to like really count on, okay, well, we did this, that, you know, got us this and rely on that every month. Cause it fluctuates a lot. And like I said earlier with the, you know, the economy and then COVID and all these other factors that are coming into play. And then we've also got, you know, summer's about to start. So all the students are going home. So we're fluctuating all the time.
Right. Yeah. And that's like, you know, the point of growth, you have to be able to have a growth plan. So that's why like things like referrals, it's hard to really create a growth plan around that. You know, that's like where the benefit is of digital marketing and things like Facebook ads, Instagram ads. I mean, I know some gym owners that once they figure out their marketing angle, the way they're going to run ads, it's really like a touch of a button, turning the ads on and off and, you know, being able to get a ton of leads in and, you know, fill up those classes. I know some people that bring in like 15 new members a month based off ads. They'll see, you know, they'll feel like their classes are filled enough. They'll turn them off a month or two later. They'll like, hey, let's get some more people in, let's turn them back on. And, you know, next thing you know, you got, you know, a funnel of people coming in. So that's like, you know, one of the tools with the internet. A lot of people, they kind of have a bad perception about it, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, all these things are just tools, you know, different ways to help you and make things easier on you.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I do want to ask a little bit just about, you know, your sales process. What's kind of your process when you have someone who's an interested lead? I know you have an on-ramp class. Let's say it's a referral. Someone walks in your door, they're interested in, you know, maybe becoming a member. What's your process to turning them, you know, into a paid member?
Well, I got to tell you, I am not a salesman. So I am probably, you know, being the owner, you would think I would be the ultimate salesperson, but it's hard for me to close deals.
Yeah.
I'm a very upfront and kind of a black and white. This is this, this is that. And this is what you're going to get. Here's the gym. This is what we do. Yeah. And then it's the closing the deal part that I am not fluent in. So my personal pitch is, we've got a great gym here. We have great coaches. Our programming is fantastic. You're going to get better, guaranteed, as long as you come in and stick to it. And all you need to do is just show up, get your foot in the door, mm-hmm. and you'll see results. And so that's kind of my pitch. I've got one coach in particular, he can sell and he can get people to sign on. Did I mute myself?
No, you're good. I hear you.
Okay. I said it muted. He can get people to sign up, you know, no problem.
Yeah. It's a skill for sure.
It is definitely a skill. And he didn't used to be like that. So he said he's learned it over the years. So I'm trying to work on it, but it's just, I don't know. I've never been a good salesperson.
No, and that's okay. I mean, most gym owners, they don't get into, you know, gym ownership and they're running their own facility, you know, trying to sell things. A lot of them, they just want to help people. They have a passion for clients and helping people. And they don't really realize that there's this whole business side of things that you have to be good at as well. You have to track numbers. You know, you have to have some type of growth marketing plan. And even, you know, the sales as well, you have to have a sales system. Have you ever thought of, you know, implementing or creating some type of sales process or system, something that's copy and paste essentially, that, you know, you could, if you were to hire more trainers or a sales associate, and pretty much just be like a plug and play thing?
We do have little mini processes that kind of handle that a little bit. There's not like a get a person in the door, follow these steps, sign them up type of process. But there are steps along the ways. Like if they get to here, then this is what you have to do.
Okay.
Type of thing. So, like I said, our location is honestly the hardest part. And once anybody comes in here and sees the place, cause we actually have physical therapy on site as well. So that's a huge bonus.
Within your facility, you have physical therapy? Oh, super cool.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We partnered up with a physical therapy office in town, and they're on site here pretty much five days a week now. So a lot of clients will come in and they're not even members. They'll just come in to here because it's their performance lab. So they have access to the whole facility whenever they're here, which really helps out. So okay. That's been a really good partnership.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. And that's cool. I've noticed that too. Since COVID, a lot of gyms are trying to become more type of one-stop shops, you know, and having a lot of different services, things like supplements, nutrition, you know, massage therapists. I know people I forgot if he had an actual chiropractor inside the facility or if it was just like a, you know, affiliation thing where he referred them and then he'd get a percentage, but even things like that as well. Now touching a little more on your sales process, are you against having a sales process per se? Cause I know a lot of gym owners are like, hey, I don't want this to be sales. You know, I want my product to speak for itself, and they pretty much kind of expect just, you know, for people to walk in and buy memberships. Are you against creating some type of, you know, step-by-step process of, you know, getting a lead, bringing them in, doing a sit down interview type thing, you know, pushing them to the on-ramp class and doing the sale?
I would say kind of in a sense, yes, because I'm not a pushy person. If someone wants to do something, they're going to do it. And I'm not going to try to sway them either way. So I would rather someone come in, see the place, hear my spiel or whatever the other coaches spiels and just decide on their own. Okay. I want to try this. And because I've found, in the past that when that has happened, that, they've been pushed and kind of coaxed into a membership, they don't last, they don't stay here, you know, and they'll have resentment as well. So I want everybody to be here because they want to be here, not because they feel like they're pressured to be here.
Right. Okay. Okay, cool. So let's touch a little bit, you know, on the type of services that you guys offer. I know you started doing private training a little bit. You have that physical therapist inside your facility as well. How many clients of yours invest in those extra layers of service, things like private training? You know, do you do nutrition and accountability or any type of supplements?
We have some supplements. We don't do nutrition. We haven't. A dietitian who's one of our coaches, but he's a little overwhelmed with some other stuff, so he can't do that right now. But as far as the layering goes, the physical therapy is probably the biggest thing that people take advantage of here. And it's, you know, sometimes it's because something happened. Other times it's preventative, which is what we prefer, you know, and that's what I always push for people to, you know, if you're starting to experience something that doesn't feel right, then get ahead of it right now and go see, you know, our therapist, just to make sure that you don't cause something to get worse. So I would say the therapy part is probably the biggest, advantage. Everybody buys supplements, you know, every once in a while here and there. So that's good to have around, but it's not like that's, you know, keeping our business afloat or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends too. I mean, supplements don't really sell themselves. I know, you know, some gym owners kind of expect to just leave it on the shelf and people to come by and pick it up. You know, I've spoke with some people who actually include the supplements in their sales process. So of course you don't want to look at your members as some type of cash cow, like let's just try and drag more money out of them. But like you said, things like supplements, merch, food and drinks, maybe even physical therapy, you know, this is all stuff that people are going to buy outside of your facility. So if you could find a way to offer it inside of your facility, it makes it all that much more better for you as a business owner. You know, it gives you more room to grow. You know, and there is such a thing as growing from within side of your facility too. So that's like one thing that I always try and touch on is, you know, you don't always have to get double your membership to make more money to, you know, continue growth. Like you could add these things like private training, group training, you could include supplements in your sales process, you know, at the end of the whatever, if they end up becoming a member, be like, hey, also you could get these, you know, protein, BCAAs, you know, and so forth, stuff that they'll probably buy outside of your facility and just kind of include it with the package that you're selling. Have you ever thought about doing something like that?
No, I haven't. I mean, we do mention the supplements. Yeah, so just to let them know. And generally we're priced a little bit less than if they were to go down the street to get them.
Yeah.
It's just some people just don't take supplements. I mean, yeah. I take them all the time. They're fantastic. They do exactly what they say. And the only supplements we sell here, I will try them out first.
Yeah.
And then if I think that, you know, they're worth it, then we'll start selling them. But I don't put anything like, you know, super high caffeine drinks out, which I don't see a benefit to. So we don't sell any of that stuff. It's only if it's going to help you that we'll sell.
Right. No crazy pre-workout.
No.
None of that. Make you the stuff that has you itching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Ultimate Rage or something.
Yeah. I saw some pre-workout the other day that was called like something crack or something like that.
Green. Oh yeah. I've heard of that one.
I'm like, oh my God. I was like, this is their marketing angle. Like, I don't know. Funny though. But awesome. Awesome. Now another question that I do like to ask as we're wrapping up here, but if you could wave, you know, a magic wand essentially and have your business be in the exact position that you want it, what would that look like to you?
Exact position that I want it. Well, I would say we'd have 300 members, I think would be a good start. We'd have, you know, probably 10 or 12 coaches on staff, all doing personal training all the time. I'd be able to run maybe one or two classes a day instead of six or seven.
Yeah.
So I'd have a little bit more time and to get on to do the other stuff. And that'd give me more time just to, you know, interact with the members as well, instead of, you know, just having to coach everybody all the time.
Right.
That's the things just off the top of my head that I wish if I could change right now, then I would change those.
Right. And I think that's, you know, every business owner's goal is to eventually get to a point of freedom, being able to step away from your business and have it run like a, you know, kind of like a fine-tuned machine. What do you think is like your biggest bottleneck that you're facing right now that's holding you back from getting to that point of having 300 members, you know, freeing up your time, you know, being able to take a step away and not have to train so many classes throughout the day?
I would say, again, it's the location.
Okay.
Like I said, the facility is fantastic. It's just hard to find. Yeah. So our road presence is, I mean, you'll pass us right by. And even if you turn in to find us, it's still hard to find us. So that's the main thing. So a huge sign would probably help out. But
is that a thought of yours, or like maybe like idea or, you know, goal to, you know, buy a sign to put up?
Yeah, the sign is definitely on the list. They're just, it's a huge marquee out in front of the building, so the sign's going to be a substantial cost. So we're just holding off on that for now.
Okay. Awesome. So we know, you know, what you want for your business now, Mike. And you know, that's to help people. You know, you obviously care a lot about the community. You do a lot of community outreach for your facility. But now for you, what do you want from your business? What was kind of the big picture for you? What was your end goal? You know, what's in it for you?
People to get fit. I mean, that's the whole reason we started this, to have a place where the community could come and enjoy, you know, an hour or maybe longer if they hang out, just enjoy that every day. I mean, there's, of course, we want to be able to support ourselves and the business as well, but it was never started to, you know, like definitely not a get rich plan.
Yeah.
That'd be great if that happened, but that wasn't the intent. It was more of, you know, we want to provide some place for everybody to come and just, you know, live a healthy life and change and have a healthy lifestyle. So that was the whole intent in creating Mensch.
All right, Mike. Well, I love it. I love talking to, you know, people who are really passionate about what they do and, you know, passionate about their members and helping people. But awesome, man. I think that's a pretty good place to start to wrap things up on this episode. But before we do sign out of here, please give a shout out to, you know, either your website, social media pages, just so the listeners could find more info on you and your gym.
Okay. It's just simple menschcrossfit.com. So M-E-N-S-C-H crossfit.com. Same thing on Instagram. It's menschcrossfit. And both of those medias have all the contact information. If you need to get in contact with myself, just shoot us an email or DM us and we'll get back to you.
Awesome. Quickly. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, Mensch CrossFit out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. We absolutely appreciate your time and look forward to seeing, you know, what you could accomplish down the road. And to everyone who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. As for the listeners, don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you are interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.